Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey. Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt, hanging with you here for the next 2 hours on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is getting cold. It's not ugly outside. It is just cold.
I think it's perfect outside. Perfect. Crisp, cool air.
My hands are cold.
What's the temperature right now? Yeah, that is true.
I got gas this morning, and I'm like, this is kind of painful.
Yeah, it feels like 14. The temperature is 21. Low today is 16. High today is 26, though.
There we go.
We're still on the way up.
Are we still looking at like single digits for Sunday?
According to my phone, kind of.
I was going to say, because is it even going to give you like the wind chill stuff or no?
Well, it doesn't give you the wind chill, but the temperature at kickoff, according to my phone right now, is 14. But Monday... The low on Monday is 5. And if I'm looking at like midnight on Monday, like Sunday into Monday, it's going to be 10 degrees.
There we go.
Like it's going to be one of those days where it's like, yes, it's the low is, you know, 10 or whatever, mm-hmm. but it might actually be lower than that during the game. Or might actually, like obviously it's going to change a little bit, but it's going to be like one of those where it's like dipping for the next day. Next day is going to be the cold day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be getting like this is actually going to be warm tomorrow, and tomorrow's going to be worse.
You have no idea how nervous I am that like I'm getting this excited for Bills Ravens. It's going to be cold. It's mm-hmm. going to be at night. It's the last playoff game of the divisional round.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be terrible. It's going to be a bad game. Like, I am very nervous.
No.
That's what I'm nervous about, is that it's not going to live up to the expectations I placed upon it.
No, because...
That's the most nervous I've been.
What is making you feel that way, though? Like, in what world are you worried about any one of these superstar players not doing what they're going to do?
It's less that, and it's more my expectations are an all-time great game, and that's absurd. Mm. Like, that alone, like you're asking for disappointment.
Oh, man. No, because I think, like, you're looking at the MVP finalists going mm-hmm. up against each other at quarterback. You're looking at a running back that if he had, you know, 20, 30 more carries, he would have...
He's getting 2,000 for the second time
probably gone right up there with Saquon and maybe even flirted with the record like Saquon did. Like,
you have another running back in Cook who is either tops or second in rushing touchdowns this
mm-hmm.
year.
He is...
He's number one.
I think he is top.
Number one?
I think he is top, yeah. But you have all of these different things. And then you have two great defenses. Like, the Ravens defense, like we've been talking about it a little bit here, like they've really flipped things around this week, mm-hmm. This season, like the back half of the season. They've really changed things. They have the best rushing defense in the league. They have the worst passing defense in the league, statistically, like yards per game and all that. But that might be inflated.
Yep.
You can never tell season outlooks, because they weren't great in the beginning of the year. The defense was not great in the beginning of the year. But so you have the potential for Josh Allen to do his thing and, you know, hit Khalil Shakir for big passes, hit Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman, even Mac Hollins. Like, there's all that baked into it. And then again, with the Bills defense, it's fully healthy. You're not missing Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, and Matt Milano like you were last time.
Yep.
There's no reason to be nervous that this is not going to be an all-time great game.
I know, just in my head, and like you didn't even bring it up either, but like
neither team turns the ball over.
Right.
So I'm not even looking at the whole like slugfest that was Houston and LA, where it's seven turnovers between the two teams, and you're kind of like, I mean, what the hell did I just watch?
Derrick Henry fumbled the ball earlier this season for the first time in like 4 years.
Yeah, and Lamar has like, a career low in picks with eight.
So does Allen.
Or with four, excuse me. And then Allen has really brought that down to the point where I think most people are overly giving him credit for that, where, okay, let's not act like it was a huge problem. 18, yes, is a lot, but...
Well, right, but I think...
But the touchdowns kind of made up for it.
This year is also a career low for him, I believe. Yeah, six.
Is that really his career low?
Mm-hmm. The next lowest is 9 in 2019.
2019, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, again, both quarterbacks having an incredible season. And, I don't think there's any reason to not think this game
is the greatest
of all-time game.
I am so excited. I think it's going to be an all-time game. I listened yesterday to Peter Schrager on NFL Network going through like the AFC, or not even just AFC, NFL divisional rounds, quarterback matchups, mm-hmm. like all-timers. And he's like, I think this is number one.
Yeah.
And you had 13 seconds, but he's like, yeah, but you know, Mahomes and Allen hadn't become what we all see it now at that time.
They were still on their way up.
You know, there was, I think, like a Steve Young and Brett Favre game in there as well. He's going through it and he's like, I think Lamar and Allen today, right now, is the best. And I'm like, let's go. Sunday, 6th, I'm ready. Let's go. And a part of me is just sitting here going, it's going to be 17-17 with like a minute left in the fourth quarter. And it was just this worst game ever, but somebody's got to win it.
See, I think it's going to be, and I don't want to scare people by saying this, I think it's going to be a 13-seconds-esque game. You're going to have score after score after score where it's just back and forth the whole game. And the defenses are still doing, you know, their thing every once in a while. It's not like, oh, great, the offenses are just going crazy and the defense is just there.
Mm-hmm.
No, the defense is still, I think, going to have its moments. But I think, aside from the overtime part of 13 seconds, I think this game could look a lot like that in terms of the offenses both just having a day and mm-hmm. having those quick answers for each other. Not necessarily quick in sort of game clock time, but like it's like, drive after drive after drive, you have scores. Because
it feels like haymakers.
I do feel like this is going to be one of those games where both teams are trying to just desperately have the ball last,
mm-hmm.
where it's 9-minute drives with, you know, 13 plays. But, you know, it shouldn't take that long, but it is because you're trying to just hold on to the ball. That's going to be the game script for both of these teams, I think. And rightfully so. I mean, you're looking at two incredible offenses, two incredible defenses, and if you're the coaches going against that, what's your plan? It's to keep the ball away from the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the way that these two teams are set up, they're both set up in completely different ways to do that. I mean, obviously Derrick Henry can just run the ball anywhere he wants, and that kills time, that helps you control time. And mm-hmm. then with the Bills, what they've done all season, give the ball to James Cook. Oh, actually, we're going to throw it now. We're going to throw it to Khalil Shakir, and he always catches everything.
Spread the ball around.
Yeah, it's the everybody eats thing. That also helps kill clock because you're doing different things every single play,
mm-hmm.
and it's keeping guys fresh. It's keeping guys in tune with the game. So I really feel like this is one of those games where it's going to come down to who has the ball last and who plays the perfect game.
We were talking a little bit there about injuries. You were, and you mentioned for the Bills having their three defensive mm-hmm. players back, key defensive players, Matt Milano having arguably his best game this year against Denver. I know a big point has been brought a lot for the Bills offense. They didn't have Amari Cooper. You know, Matt Collins was still trying to find his role. Keon Coleman, that was his fourth game in the NFL. You know, he was trying to find his role. Khalil Shakir gets hurt in the middle of that game and ultimately misses the next game against Houston.
Yeah, and I even didn't even think about this. Allen's hand was still weird.
That's like
his left hand was still broken, and you couldn't. I mean, not to say that hampered his throwing or anything like that, but
handoffs.
You kind of wanted to be a little more careful with that because you didn't want him to injure it more or injure something else while trying to protect it. So, I think that definitely played into it too. I kind of forgot about that.
But on that point, there may be a key player out for Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
Zay Flowers. How much does him potentially missing for you?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How much does that play into it?
A lot. It's a big factor because that was their one sort of explosive outlet in the passing game. I mean, yes, they have Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews, but they are not the same type of player as Zay Flowers is.
Mm-hmm.
Zay Flowers has just incredible speed and the ability to just break a game wide open. I mean, he was their first ever 1,000-yard receiver. The Ravens have been around for quite some time.
Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
I think they've had another 1,000-yard receiver.
Regardless, it's still historic, the fact that he was a Pro Bowl wide receiver and first 1,000-yard receiver. That means something, especially in a franchise-long sort of thing. So I do think that that affects the game heavily because who else are they going to pass to? I mean, again, like I said, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, but you can only pass to them so much until the other team starts cluing in on it. I mean, the added benefit is they have Derrick Henry. So there is another outlet here in terms of, you know, switching things up. But I think that what everybody eats has shown me personally is that not necessarily you have to always have so many different targets, but there is a bonus to having that. There is a definitive advantage, I think, in terms of just the passing game to having so many different available targets that can all be reliable. If they're not reliable, then it doesn't really mean anything. But if they're reliable like the Bills' targets are, it makes a big difference. And when you're looking at the Ravens, they have other guys, but they don't have other reliable guys. They have Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor, Devontae Walker, like Tylan Wallace. Like, looking at all those names, it's not... And sure, you know, anyone can have a day, but like it's not names that jump off the paper and scream to you like, oh, they have a good backup, or oh, they have other options available that will help them at least have some sort of passing game outlet when Derrick Henry needs a breather or when the Bills are shutting him down. They don't necessarily have that. And I think that's going to be a big part of the puzzle here. But the counter to that is, of course, Lamar Jackson's rushing ability and Derrick Henry's rushing ability. Like there's not really anything to counter that. So you kind of have to have a little bit of a back and forth there. But the fact that they're going to be so heavily relying on the run probably is going to be good for the Bills and also could be bad for the Bills. Because
if you don't figure it out.
You have to figure it out early. Yeah. If you don't figure it out early, it's going to be a long day.
Looking at the reception numbers of the Ravens receivers, Flowers is very clearly ahead. 74, just over 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mark Andrews is in second, which is, you know, Andrews' season has been weird, by the way, especially how it began where seemingly he just wasn't doing anything.
I mean,
what's
for the first month
that?
Of the season, I remember everyone in fantasy football being like, why is he here?
Is he just gone? Did we miss that he retired? What have you?
Yeah.
He finishes with 57 catches, 700 yards, and 11 touchdowns in the regular season.
Wow.
He's number two in catches for them, which, again, feels insane.
How many of those came after like the first 6 weeks, though. Like, I feel like it just kind of all of a sudden turned on because.
Love that you asked that. So the first 4 weeks, he is essentially a non-factor. He has 6 catches through the first 4 weeks. All of those came in the first 2 games. The next 2, Dallas and Buffalo, he has 1 target each. Then it starts to ramp up a little bit.
Yeah.
Against Cincinnati, he has four catches. Washington, 3 catches, his first touchdown of the year. Tampa goes 4 for 4, 2 touchdowns. Cleveland, 5 for 5, 1 touchdown. And then he does finish off the year catching 6 straight touchdowns. Each of the last 6 games, he has 1 touchdown. So wow. He kind of came on as the year went along. As the year progressed, he got better.
And he really stacked on the yards, too, because, like, you talked about, he has, what, 700 yards or
700
600
on
yards?
The dot, yep.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, he turned it on, and I think, you know, seeing how this defense is changing a little bit, or this offense is changing a little bit for them, if Zay Flowers is out, he kind of now becomes their number one target in the passing game. Him and Isaiah Likely, because Isaiah Likely has also had his moments this year where when Andrews wasn't performing or when they were kind of going away from Andrews, Likely was stepping up into the passing game.
Look at that first game. 12 targets, 9 catches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah.
12 targets is the craziest thing for me. Like, that's...
Yeah, because he never got close to that again.
Right. And that's the thing that, like, stands out of, like, were they just testing something? Were they just seeing, like, what they could do?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a let's game plan for Kansas City specifically, right. And that's what it was? And it kind of makes me wonder, like, if we'll ever see something like that come back. I don't think we will, especially now because it's been like a whole season. And like you said, he hasn't come anywhere close to that. But with Zay Flowers out, I wonder if they're going to start to lean on Likely and Andrews a lot more than they normally would. Because, again, their other wide receiver options are not that great. And they don't really
pass. I do wonder about Rashad Bateman.
I do too, but like.
He's got 10 touchdowns this year. Like, he's had
a really
good year.
Okay. I didn't know that.
He's done that on 47 catches.
Right. Because that's the thing.
It's
like,
a big majority of his catches are touchdowns.
It feels like he didn't have that big of a volume, so I wasn't expecting 10 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
But 780 yards, 47 catches. I do look at their passing game, though.
Mm hmm.
And. Bulldogs brought it up a lot. This is an important game for, I think, Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott for the rest of their careers. Babich is his first year as a defensive coordinator, right? I mean, and it's been an up-and-down year, very much an up-and-down year. There have been great moments where you're just like, hey, hats off to you. The beginning of the year, I think, especially, when it was a hodgepodge of guys, you know, the UB undrafted guys having, you know, big moments, Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, those guys. It's also been bad, you know. The LA game where they were perfection, but the defense didn't help. You know, the Lions game even. I loved the first half, but you can argue the second half was bad. And you're going up against arguably one of the most efficient offenses the league has ever seen in this Baltimore Ravens team. A part of me, I think that maybe is also where I'm so nervous, is knowing where the conversation will go if the team loses. I think that's the thing. I mentioned it yesterday, and it's for both teams. Like, where do you go next if you lose this game? You lost another important playoff game. It's another year not going to the Super Bowl when you have 2 all-world talents at quarterback. Where do you go next? And for me, it does just seem like no matter what the result is, they could lose the game 21-17. And I feel like it'll come down to McDermott. And so I wonder for him this season how much more – he's been open, Josh, and he's been more relaxed. He's joking with the media. Mm-hmm. You heard Deion Dawkins on Colin Cowherd even specifically mentioned, like, this is the best he's seen McDermott.
Yeah.
And it does feel like he's not wound up so tight, and it does feel like he's more relaxed. A part of me almost wants this game for him, too. Like, I've mentioned, like, for Allen and Lamar, like, how important this game is going to be, and I love that for them. I also kind of want it for McDermott. Harbaugh's got his Super Bowl. He's kind of built his credibility as one of the better coaches in football, better team builders, the whole thing. We've kind of gotten to a point now as Bills fans, but I think even, like, nationally, forgetting that McDermott came in year one on an effectively rebuilding roster and broke a 17-year playoff drought.
Yeah.
In a year that really was not supposed to happen, he came in day one and did it. They lose a bad playoff game to Jacksonville, but that was not really the important bit. It was more they broke a drought.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love this for him. If he could go in there, him and Babich, put up a game plan. You're healthy. We've mentioned it multiple times. Milano, Johnson, and Bernard all back in this game. If he can go in, I'm not saying pitch a shutout, because the likely MVP of the league to have trouble. And you've kind of been able to do that. Week four was sort of the first time where it was like an all around just, ooh, you have no idea what's happening. And even then in the second half, they sort of figured it out. Mm-hmm. If they go in, you know, white hot to begin a game like they did against Detroit, like they did against Kansas City, I would love that for McDermott to have this on his mantle. It's a big playoff game. It's arguably the biggest game of the year. I think many people are assuming the winner of this game will beat Kansas City or will have the ability to beat Kansas City on the road to go make their first Super Bowl. A part of me does kind of want it for him. I've been a bit of a McDermott apologist. I won't deny that. I think he is a much better coach than he has at times given credit for. But I'd also like admit he has had some huge screw-ups in these big moments. And if he can get something like that, and if just one piece like a Zay Flowers is not in that game, and he can just more zero in on the tight ends, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and can figure out a way for this defense to just kind of go after him, I would love that for him. I really it wouldn't be my immediate thought, and it's why, you know, it's Wednesday and I'm kind of having this first thought now. But come like Monday or Tuesday next week, Wednesday next week, if they want it, mm-hmm. I'd probably be sitting there going, good for him.
Yeah.
It took a while, but now he's got that marquee playoff victory because he doesn't really have it now. The marquee playoff games are losses, mm-hmm. and many of them have been just screw ups by him.
Yeah. And I think also, too, like what plays into that whole conversation with the fact that this is a big game for him and Babich. I think it's a bigger game for McDermott just because of the fact that Babich is in his first year as a DC. Yes, it's under a defensive head coach, so like you're kind of expecting him to, you know, learn more and get better quicker. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, hey, it's your first year. Let's give you a little slack here. Let's see what you can do. Obviously, it's a big game. You need to step up. But like, it's still his first year. He's still learning. He's still mm-hmm. kind of getting comfortable with the fact that he is the defensive coordinator. And I think to your point there, too, about, you know, getting up on them early with the fact that if Zay Flowers is out, you have one less explosive player to worry about. You have one less Pro Bowler to worry about. This roster for the Ravens has 9 Pro Bowlers on it. It's a lot.
Like, it's the most Ravens thing ever.
It's way too many, but it's a lot. Like, there should be less, but when you look at how they can game plan this and how they can go at the Ravens offense, the tight ends will be a problem if Zay Flowers is out. But you also have to worry about Derrick Henry, which is like that two-headed monster that you're kind of terrified of with him and Jackson being able to rush. If you want to use your linebackers to kind of subdue them, then you're kind of leaving the tight ends open. So it's going to be a lot on the secondary and the linebackers, I think, in this game. And from what we saw against the Broncos this past week, early on in the game, that was not going well. And that's kind of the reason why Bo Nix gets a big touchdown early, over the top and everything like that, like with kind of beating the secondary, which is something we don't normally see in this McDermott defense. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that got really keyed in on, or will get keyed in on this week because it is only Wednesday. I don't know why I was thinking.
Yeah, the Bills are finally getting back to practice.
Yeah,
today.
It feels like it's a lot later in the week, but it's only Wednesday. But I think that's something that they're going to have to really focus in on is how are we going to contain both down the field and short mm-hmm. field, because you're going to need to utilize your linebackers for both. And I think that's also where the defensive line really needs to step up. I mean, that defensive line needs to get pressure. They haven't gotten any pressure this week.
It's been bad.
This past month, basically. And I mean, mainly Ed Oliver needs to start showing that he is Ed Oliver again. I mean, it's not the end of the world by any means, but it is a big part of the reason why I'm a little concerned about how they're going to go about this.
You do need the interior of the offensive or the defensive line to pop off. You mm-hmm. You've paid at Oliver. You know, Rousseau is looking for a big time contract. You have multiple guys on that line that you've had for a number of years. Yes, they are more built for the passing oriented era of the NFL, where you're a little bit smaller, more quick to get to the quarterback, not really built to stop Derrick Henry. That doesn't change the fact that that's what you need to do. You need to set the edge. You need to make sure that Lamar is not getting to the outside and, mm-hmm. and popping a big one off. Same with Henry.
Well, yeah, I think it's...
And they did a better job in the second half of that week four matchup. It was the big run, sure, but that's what kills you,
right,
is those big plays. Anyone that says they weren't a little nervous after immediately a big play happened against Denver's line to themselves. It was the first drive, and you saw Bo Nix immediately hit a bomb, and you're like, great, awesome.
But if you
here we go again.
If you take away that Derrick Henry run, and I'm not saying like this is a great number at all. It's still not great. The run was 87 yards. He had 199 yards on the day. If you take away that big run, or you cut it in half, or you whatever, 112 yards on the day is what Derrick Henry would have had. And that run was early in the game. We always see this Bills defense, and kind of the offense too, they come out a little sluggish every once in a while in the beginning of the game, and then the second half they turn it on. That's kind of what happened in this game too, in week four. It's just that stupid trick play. Like, that one-time trick play that you probably shouldn't have done is what killed your momentum on offense. Defense kept it going. Defense kind of stood strong for the second half. So I feel like as long as they can come out with that second half defense and get on it early, things will be fine. But if you don't get on this team early and they put up one or two scores on you in the first quarter and a half, I mean, it's going to be a long day trying to come back from that.
This does feel like a game. This does feel a game not necessarily being decided in the first quarter, but you'll kind of get an idea of how you're going to be feeling for the next 3 hours.
Whoever wins the first quarter, quote unquote, will control the game up until like the 2 minute warning. Because I think that this is one of those games where whoever gets in the driver's seat first is going to have the ultimate say on what happens for the entire game. It's not going to be one of those games where it goes back and forth. I think it's going to be whoever's behind first is going to be chasing for quite some time in the game.
Yeah.
And that's the part that makes me the most nervous.
803-0550, the number two call. I did post it to Twitter as well if you want to call and give your thoughts as well. What do you think is more likely? We haven't talked about this aspect yet. We were talking a little bit about McDermott and the scrubs he's had in the playoffs. But how about a bad playoff game from Jackson? It has become kind of notorious. We'll go through some of his playoff numbers as well up after the break. Also looking for your calls and tweets as well. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Sal Capaccio will join the show in about an hour as the Bills get back to practice today. McDermott expected to speak around 12 o'clock today. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.